Well, this weekend, will you be strapping up, well, your cricket boots, maybe your running shoes? Cricket preseason is underway for some amateur teams, I know. Or participating in some sort of football final, whatever level of sport you play, in most codes too, the risk of concussion is there. And in recent years, researchers are finding a heck of a lot about the damaging effects of even what's dubbed mild concussion. Brett McKay, this is the focus of you today for our Wednesday sports session, On the Mind.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. It's an interesting area, and there's a lot more research is being done into it. And I'm not sure about your playing days, mate. I was fairly lucky. I think I had a couple of little mild.
No, I had a few, and I had one delayed concussion as well.
Righto, yeah.
Which wasn't nice.
I got mildly knocked out in my last game of touch football of all things.
See, I shouldn't chuckle because this is fact. In contact or, quotes, non-contact sport, it's a risk that's becoming increasingly apparent to us.
And all that happened to me, I've actually still got a reasonable memory of it, but all that happened to me is that I literally was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and someone just ran straight into me, and I've gone backwards, and the back of my head's hit the ground.
Into the turf, sure.
Yeah, and then the next thing I know, it was half time. And so I actually lost a little bit of the first half of the game. So that was a little bit interesting and probably a fair sign that it was time to stop. We're joined on the line, though, today by Dr. Adrian Cohen, Adam, who is the founder and he's the founder and managing director of Headspace, and one of the leading voices in terms of concussion research and the ongoing discussions about it.
And its broader effects on one's mental health, whether they do or don't currently play sport.
That's right. And certainly the ongoing effects of it. There's a big conference happening up in Sydney today with representatives from all sorts of sports. Dr. Cohen's there on the line this morning. Adrian, good morning to you.
Hi, good day, everyone. Adam.
Adrian, tell us a little bit about this conference today. As I mentioned, there's representatives from the NRL, from the AFL Players Association, from the Rugby Union Players Association. There's lots of sports covered here today.
That's right, and rightly so, because it does cross all sports. This particular conference is for the Chad Robinson Legacy Foundation. And for those of you with a rugby league memory and background, Chad was a young player, most prominently with the Parramatta Eels, who finished his career about 10 years ago. And like many players, he didn't end up all that well. So physically, he required knee surgery, but most prominently, his mood, attitude, and ultimate decline into what we now recognise as depression led to his untimely suicide. Mm. And as a result of that, his sister, Monique Brennan, has worked tirelessly with friends, family, and the medical staff from the Eels to set up the Chad Robinson Legacy Foundation and to bring these issues to light.
So certainly the conversation around mental health and the effects of mental health for both current and former players is a lot better than it was, Adrian. So what are the various different sports speaking about today in terms of what they're doing to recognise mental health issues?
Well, there will be representatives from the sports here, and we've got to remember that, you know, the NRL and the AFL and the Rugby Union, they represent an elite tip of the iceberg. Below them, there are community sports and right down to schools. And we require, I guess, a central body that represents all players. And there really isn't one just now. Mm. So once you've retired from the game, the players' associations really don't represent you. They're no longer involved with salary negotiations and contracts and things like that. There are some organisations that follow up afterwards, and I'm proud to be associated with Hearts and Union. And Hearts and Union follow up the more dramatically injured, particularly spinal injured Union players. But there's no one that represents past players. Now, in the US, the NFL Players Association, for instance, and soccer have a Players Association, they get a very strong voice because there are tens of thousands of ex-players who they represent. We really don't have it here. And, you know, everybody thinks of our elite sportsmen as probably moneyed, well-heeled people who go on to a career on television. That's a very small percentage of them.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them, there's not much life after sport. And there's not much support after sport, which is more to the point.
Certainly, for every Jonathan Thurston, every Cameron Smith out there, there would be 100 other players who maybe only played 50 NRL games, for example, and do have that those struggles going into life after sport. So would you say we're certainly doing more, but are we doing enough to look after recently retired players?
Well, I'm not even certain that we're doing more, to be honest. We now recognise that there are issues, and deaths like Chad's from suicide, last year from Dan Vickerman, as a very prominent rugby international, they highlight these things, and there's stories in the news, and everybody feels terribly sad about them. But what actually is being done? Where's the focus? Where's the money from the codes? Where's the recognition from the health department? Where's the recognition from the sports industry that we actually need to look after these people? Where are the foundations? Where's the research? Where are the resources for people right across our huge country to say, if you're having a problem, here's the central contact point. Maybe it's a physical problem. Maybe a knee or ankle or hip's gone. You don't have the income from your career to, afford private insurance or the operations you need. So who's looking after you? Where's the psychological support services? And, outside of the main cities, they're few and far between. But you need to be able to talk to people. And one of the things that I'm involved in is a global health project for sport. And it started as the Rugby Health Project. But you can go online to put your playing history down. They do have a cognitive test, a neurocognitive assessment, which has some limitations, given that it's you talking to a computer and then filling out a questionnaire as opposed to you talking to a therapist. But we're starting to try and get the information we need to follow up past players. So people think about concussion as a big buffy footballer with a bad headache missing a week of footy.
Yeah.
Now, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So in the short term, it's really important to realise that a second concussion before you've recovered from the first can be fatal. We call this second impact syndrome. And thankfully, it's incredibly rare, but we need to be able to protect people by recognising their concussion and not sending them back before they're ready. In the medium term, we're now getting these prolonged concussive episodes or post-concussion syndrome. And I always say to people that concussion creates concussion. The more you have, the more you get, the more severe the symptoms, the longer it takes to get better. We see this all the time in the papers when we get so-and-so is taking longer to come back from this concussion than his last six. And that's a flag right there. Towards the end of that spectrum, we have chronic neurological impairment and chronic psychological impairment. So the cognitive disorders that we normally associate with Alzheimer's disease or early dementia, affecting sportsmen and women in particular in their 40s and 50s, not their 70s and 80s. And we've kind of ignored the fact that they have psychological issues with depression, substance abuse, and dependencies of other kinds. And we've kind of lumped them into being, they're kind of early dementias, and that's why they fly off the handle and have poor impulse control and maybe turn to drugs or alcohol and things like that. It's actually part of their long-term problem from these multiple injuries. And then finally, when they pass away, and hopefully they donate their brain to the Australian Sports Brain Bank, which we set up to study the disease CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, we get to look under the microscope and see the changes. But long before that happens, we need to be identifying the concussion, looking after people and making sure they're not sent back onto the field when they have them. And as they start to develop issues, whether they're physical or psychological, after they finish playing, we have to look after these people.
You're hearing from Dr. Adrian Cohen on Mornings today on ABC Radio Canberra. Adam Shirley and Brett McKay with you as well at 19 minutes to 11. You've explained there, Dr. Cohen, some of the interrelationships we're now learning and know about with concussion and long-term mental health, the effects on an individual. To your question earlier, why is it that most codes, most organisations are holding back on concrete funding, on concrete support? What's going on there?
I wish I could tell you. And I think the fear is that there's a Pandora's box of legal claims and unwarranted expense coming their way. And, if you run a code, this is part and parcel. If you were in any other industry, you're in a shipping company, a mining industry, an electrical contractor firm, first you have workplace health and safety laws, then you have insurance for this, and you recognise that any injuries caused by your workplace are your responsibility in the long term.
Yeah.
Now, we look at sport differently. We think it's not an industry and occupation, and in fact, it's actually not covered by work cover legislation. Hmm. So the rationale for this just beggars belief, but, they say things like, they're in a dangerous occupation. I'm looking across Sydney skyline right now. I can see 12 cranes with guys hanging off them. They're called dogmen. That's a pretty dangerous occupation. Right now outside where I am at 10, there's 20 trucks going past, driving across the country for 14 hours a day. I reckon that's a blamed for his occupation. They're all covered by workplace health legislation, but not our sportsmen.
Is the concern perhaps from these big codes with a lot of money, Dr. Cohen, that the workplace they support and administer could be contributing seriously to negative health impacts?
I think that's unavoidable as a conclusion, and they have to take responsibility for it. Our codes are wealthy. I mean, the TV rights alone are counted in the billions.
Mm.
You can insure for this kind of thing. It's not like we're going to take all the money out of it and sport as we know it will die. It's about recognising there's an issue and dealing with it appropriately and maturely and sensibly for the people that, you know, the men and women playing our sports at all levels who give themselves to the game. It's time that the game actually looked after them long term.
We've certainly seen, Adrian, in certainly in terms of rugby and the NRL, they've bought in the head injury assessments. Do you think that sort of thing should be almost mandated across the board in professional sport these days? Cricket's doing something similar now as well.
Well, we're all certainly more aware of the issue. There is still an underlying ethos in all of this that if it's obviously concussion, the player goes off the field. So the head injury assessment, only if there's a question of doubt. You see players knocked out or stumbling or slumping to the ground, unable to protect themselves. That's concussion, they're off the field. They don't get an HIA. And HIAs are only at the top level of our elite sport. So at community sport and at school sport, they don't exist. And the mantra is, if in doubt, set them out. If there's any question whatsoever that there might be concussion, get them off the field.
And you played a part in the development of the blue card system that was trialled. It has been trialled in ACT rugby, from memory.
Yes, indeed. So we've been advocating the use of this, and this empowers the referee to be able to say, your coach or your sports trainer on the sideline may not have seen this. I've seen this. I'm up close. I think you've got a problem for your own safety. And let's face it, the good of the game long term. You need to be off the field and be assessed. And look, people worried that, it's going to be overused and the referees will be abusing the power. That hasn't been shown to happen. What I hope has been shown to happen is that the sports care enough about the people playing it to look after them.
Yeah. I think even in doing my week to week commentary, I think I've seen maybe two in the last two seasons. So it's an ongoing concern. It's an ongoing discussion too. And we thank you for your time today on ABC Canberra Mornings.
You're very welcome.